Well, hello there. Welcome to the...
Hey, we couldn't stop. You can't be serious.
Oh my God, if you could tell, I have a guest on the show today. I already can't.
What was the laugh both the same?
I saw you in the corner of my eye.
We can't. Our laugh is the same. We're both in tears already.
I can't even do it. I have actual tears. This is a great... Sorry, we probably just burst into everyone's eardrums because our laugh. Oh my God, that was so funny. I can't even...
I know. We gotta start without that.
Oh, you can't be like...
When I look at you, you're like, so that I could.
If you're listening to the audio, you have no idea what's going on right now. But I was trying to do my intro, and my mom is just sitting here, propped, like, just like awkwardly smiling.
You know, like
a puppet or something. And I kind of saw her from the corner of my eye. I just couldn't do it. Okay. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. That was a lot. The visual of this is a lot funnier, so you understand what's going on. So watch us on YouTube if. You aren't already. I have tears in my eyes. They're gonna be watery this whole fucking time. Okay, I'm gonna try that again. And don't like do what you just did. Please. Okay, we have Megan Mommy. Can't be crying like this.
I know.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Well, hello there. Welcome to the On to the Next podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa, and I am so happy you are here. This is episode 6, and if you are watching the visuals of this on YouTube, you will see that next to me I have a guest. This is... Oh, God. This is my very first guest on the show. Who else would I ever have as my first guest, aside from the human who made me who I am today? My literal... twin, ew. I see her making faces next to me. My queen, my twin, my role model, my very own mother, Miss Vilma Laguno.
Hey, my mini me.
Stop! You're doing too much. We're not even a minute in. Okay, this is going to be a lot. So just for context, this is my mom. Her name is Vilma. Call her mom or Vilma, whatever you want. We'll go through like who she is and everything aside from my mother. But what needs to be known is that people don't realize we talk like we're best friends. Like we swear with each other. We talk shit. We talk about everything under the sun. We're very like friends. Like we don't have like a strict like mom, like power dynamic, like whatever. So you're gonna see a bit of unhingedness today. If you think I'm fucking obnoxious, it gets worse because she's like triple me, okay, in terms of the obnoxious parts. And people also wonder like how am I who I am today, and like why am I like so obnoxious and like in front of the cameras and all the things. And it's because of this lady next to me.
Stage mom.
My little momager, okay? She is like literally have been pimping me since I was a few months old. And I mean that with love. It's a joke. She wasn't actually pimping me. No. I didn't know what was going on, but like I was here for it. And so we'll talk about that too. We're going to have another episode after this one that talks about all things in the entertainment business. We'll introduce who my mom is. Do you want to say like what you do for a living?
Yes, what do I do? For those of you who don't know, I am the owner of a talent agency, Dream Team Talent. I own the talent agency in Chicago and in Los Angeles and in Atlanta. So I own 3 talent agencies currently and do millions of other things. I also have my very own podcast, the Dream Out Loud Podcast. So the apple don't fall far from the tree here, except my podcast talks about entrepreneur stuff, and I interview a lot of people and I have to be more professional. So I'm happy to be on this podcast to be more real and true to the core and what is really going on in the human side of things. So this might be another side that some people who know me in agency world will see a different side. But at the end of the day, we are who we are, and it is what it is.
Yes. So the next episode will be one talking about all things related to the entertainment industry, how we got there. She has made her history many, many years since she opened up her talent agency, being the first Hispanic woman to own a talent agency in LA, Chicago, and Atlanta. So, you know, weird flex, but okay. It needs to be said. It needs to be known. This is who she is. So, yes, 100%. That'll be the next episode. So stay tuned for that next week. But today, like she said, we're going to talk more about us as humans, her, you know, being my mom, her raising me, things she's learned, all the things that we talk about. She has no idea about anything that I'm asking her today. So this is all going to be her just put on the spot, figuring it out.
That's what we do.
So I'm excited. I've had a list of things I wanted to talk to her about, but I was like, I'm just going to wait for the pod because I want her to be like just on the spot, you know, with love, obviously. So she's my first guest, as we know. I'm going to have more guests as we continue on in this journey. But I do want to start this little trend with every guest that I have on the show. I want to open up by asking them a question. And the question is, what era are you in right now? Do you know what that means?
Yes, I know what it means. Okay. It's not the villain era. Or is it? Partially. I'm on social media frequently, and I see a lot of memes and posts and people saying I'm in my soft girl era, and I'm in my villain era, and I'm in my sleep era, whatever it is. They just say things, and I laugh, and I kind of can relate with all of them in some way. I kind of what would the era be if I am in this kind of, like, I don't want to say villain era because I'm not doing anything with any intent to, like, you know, backlash or get anybody in a villainous way. But I am in an era of building. It's weird because I sometimes say with a vengeance, and that with a vengeance is villain era. You know what I mean? When you're doing something with a vengeance, you're in a villain era. I always think I have that. I think I'm always in that era. I'm always trying to prove myself. I always feel of being a woman in a male-dominated industry. I know that I'm always in villain era.
Don't get us started.
Yeah. I'm always in villain era, yeah. Low key. That's like low key. But the era I'm really in is unstoppable. Go-getter, invent shit, make shit up type era. I don't know. We got to think of a word for it.
Yeah.
Maybe after we talk more, I'll figure out what the, you know, what's the word that sums up the exact era that I'm in.
Yeah, I get your point, though, because it isn't like, you're never ugly with it. It's just like, you do your thing. If they don't like it, they don't like it.
Yes.
And if they do like it, dope.
And I'm doing what I want to do for me, and it doesn't matter if you like it or not. So some people might see that as villain because you're not people-pleasing. But I don't think it's a villain to do what makes you happy and what you want to do. So maybe before, when I was a people-pleaser, I forgot to mention I'm also a recovered people-pleaser. That's a whole other episode. Yeah, so I think that there was a time in my recovery of people-pleasing where I thought maybe I was in villain era because I was doing things that I wanted to do for me and not care if other people cared or liked it. But you're not a villain if you're doing stuff that you like to do and if it's for you. So I learned that, and I'm in that space now of just I'm always in a YOLO space. You only live once. I'm always in my mortality motivation, which is a whole other episode.
We're talking about that today.
Yay.
Sneak peek. Okay, continue.
So basically, yeah, we're going to sum it up. And maybe I think that you don't have to be in one era. You could have a few eras that you're in and tap into each one. And I have to tap into each era at different times and days. I mean, on a weekend, I could be in a different era than I am on a weekday. All that stuff. So more to that, but I'm sure we'll get to it in this.
Yeah, I asked her one question, and we're already like 10 minutes in.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, we're fucking talkers, as you can tell. We both have our podcast individually, and I can speak alone for however long she can as well. Apple tree
this is what you're seeing. So I'm going to try to be good with time because we can go for hours. Okay. Yeah. So, yes, that's great. Love to hear that. Love watching your journey as well. We kind of grew, even though we kind of grew up together, which is cool, you know, and that's like sweet to see now, like the full circleness and how it's only just still beginning. So that's a really good part of everything. So speaking of like me growing up and everything, I had a question for you. You're like, oh, God, I was kidding. No, I had a question for you that goes back to my roots, but I didn't think realize this until I was in a situation with something. So your eyes are just like, oh, fuck.
I'm like, which one? Which situation?
What is it? Okay, call me out. Okay. So here's the tea. So when I was in a relationship with someone.
Uh-oh.
I remember there was a time, a long period of time, where he would get mad at how I dressed. And he would be like, oh, who are you dressing up for? Like, oh, like, who are you trying to look good for? Who are you trying to please? If you have a boyfriend, like, why are you trying to look good for other people? And I always wonder, like, it became a thing where in my head, I'm like, fuck, who am I trying to look good for? Because he would, like, I don't know if gaslighting is the word, but, like, he would try to, like, get that in my head where I thought I was a problem. Mm-hmm. And so I would, like, try to dimin myself to make him comfortable. Yeah. And so I was thinking about it. I was, like, to myself, first of all, I grew up in an industry. And I explained this to him. I grew up in an industry with dancing, acting, singing, modeling, all that. All those things. In that industry, you are your face. You know, like, you are what you present out to people. In dancing, I was 5 years old wearing little ass clothes because that's what they had dancers wear to this day.
Tights and tutus. Like, yeah, that's like, normal. That's,
like, acting and modeling, whatever. I've always just been taught when you leave the house, you look fucking good. You never know who you're going to run into. Of course, in the industry, it's like, oh, you might run into a producer. You might run into a fellow coworker or an actor or whatever it is.
Or the paparazzi. Remember, I would always be like, paparazzi, like, so you just never know who, I mean, till this day, I will not step foot outside without wearing red lipstick on. I will not go to my fitness classes without my full makeup on. And I'm the only one there with full ready. And I'm like, what if paparazzi's in the window?
Yeah, I could probably name 10 people who have seen her without her lipstick on and her eye makeup on. And it's like the people in our household.
Yeah, like, if you sleep friends. Over, if yeah. you're if you slept over in my house, then you saw me with no makeup because
yeah,
at night,
kids and stuff.
Yeah, and it's all up. Kids.
Yeah. So I always thought that, and I always tell him, like, look at my fucking mom. You think I'm not going to be obnoxious? Like, I'm just going to be me. And also, he met me as someone who was like a face. Like, I was in front of I was always like my
photoshop.
Yeah, like whatever it was, whatever it was, like, that's how he met me. So it was like confusing to me, like trying to be like, if you met me like that, why are you confused? This is what you're getting still. And I do think it stems from you and seeing how you, as in my mom, you always looked good, you always had oh God, it's getting into her head.
Well, thank you.
You, like I said, you've always had the same makeup, the same nails, the same all the things.
Yes.
And so that's what was inbred into us as kids. But I wanted to know, like, for you raising daughters, because my sister and I, raising us girls, like, did you ever feel like nervous, like how we were dressing? Did you ever think we were dressing like too much? Like, what was, like, how did you think about that? Because you didn't know, you were kind of leading that example
right.
with us girls.
Yeah, it was a very tough, it still continues to be a torn situation. Mm-hmm. For example, even now, you know, in your 20s and Amaya in her 20s, you know, if I see the nipples showing, you know, like through the, it's like, whoa, where are we going with that? Like, there's a place for everything. But in the same breath, I'll understand some places they might have to be out.
This is why I am how I am.
It sounds so bad. But I, being older and knowing, like, I had what you girls had at that age, and I felt that I was hiding myself or shamed for being, oh, your legs are too sexy. And I'm like, you know, I had comments said to me, being a mom, they would say a younger mom, even though I think I just looked younger. I was not as young as I was a young mom, but not really. No, you know what I mean? But being one of the younger moms around the school, and being fit and wearing the shorts, like, we can share clothes. You know, at that time, I would be shamed. Other moms would tell me, like, my husband's not allowed to talk to you. my boyfriend can't say hi to you. You know, they would tell me this and I would be like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not saying hi to anyone. And they would be like, oh, look at your legs. And it would just be like, oh, they're your legs. Oh, and then they would be complimenting, like, oh my gosh, your legs are so sexy. Oh my gosh, you're this, you're that. And I was literally, I remember going to the school, picking you guys up with my, like, stepper on and with, like, ankle weights on my ankles. Like, I'm literally going there as a mom and getting my fitness in. I'm not going there, like, with heels and strutting. Mm-hmm. My intention wasn't any of that, but people would shame me about it. And so there was a time that I felt like I had to cover up and become like mom. And so I started changing my clothes for people, and that was a little phase. And so I think seeing you guys, I didn't want you to do that, but I did learn, like, to, I did want you to be dressed appropriate for whatever the occasion was. Mm-hmm. So, it, but in the same breath, you know, even right now, just whatever you're comfortable in and being who you are. But in the same breath, it is scary. If out there in the streets, it's horrifying. So when I know you're going out to the city or you're going to someplace with your girls, it's scary for me because it's not something that I'm worried about you controlling. It's not being able to control the crazy world, especially when you're going somewhere where people are drinking and stuff like that. There's a little bit like craziness. So I get scared for those scenes. So when I do see you leave and you're going somewhere for outing out with the girls, if you are in jeans or in more comfortable shoes or things, I feel better than when you're in your little minis because of the safety now. It became that, sadly. Mm-hmm. So all safety. If it wasn't for safety, if it's for our pictures, if it's for us here, then do your thing. And, you know, and it's still, it's always going to be a hard balance because I still know, like, you can show, you know, your butt on Instagram. But do you want to? Like, if it's to make a lot of money, we do it. We got to do it, right? But if it's just to, like, attract the crowd, like, why? You see what's out there. So I guess the intention behind why you're wearing it is really where I'm, like, making sure I have under check. If you're wearing it just purposely, if your intention's to wear it because you really like it, it looks good, this is what you want to do, great. But if it's for someone specifically or purposely, depending on what that intention is, can be So I'm very neutral in all my answers with everything. You know, I raised you that way. I'm very much neutral. I can justify either side of anything. So it's a very tricky situation, but it is how I raised you guys, going, you know, especially having a boy, I had to find a balance on what's right for both of you, what's right for girls and boys, what's right for all of you, how, what parts are equal, and then what parts are like, no, well, he's a boy, so he can do this, and she's a girl, and all that's a whole other topic. But yeah, it's, I'm just scared of the world and the people out there these days in some way, but in the same breath, I trust everybody and feel we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, we're smart enough, and I think that, you know, where, what you should be wearing and what you feel good in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I just thought it was a curious experience that I had to kind of think about and ponder, like, on my own.
Yeah.
And then, like, reflect, like, why.
But what I will tell you, in the situation of the boyfriend telling you why are you dressing like that, and for anybody listening, the minute someone tells you not to wear something, I'd wear it 3, 4, 5 more times, okay? I would wear it, take pictures, show them, hey, look what I'm wearing before I walk out the house. I would do it even more. So don't. That is like, so yes, I'm in my villain era. No, but that is the thing. The minute somebody has an issue with something you're doing that you're doing for yourself, or tries to change you, or tries to tell you you can't do something, you know, my thing has always been, if my dad isn't telling me what to do, there's no one else that's going to tell me what to do. But it, you don't even have to think of it in that nature. Think of it however you want to think of it. But I'm telling you right now, that is a trigger. And if you are not going to get your way if you approach it that way.
Yeah.
Not with us, at least. Yeah. And I think I show you that enough in action. I don't only say it, I literally do it. So anything that someone tests me or pushes me against the wall about, they will get it back even more, you know? And that's a whole other thing people might find toxic, but it really isn't. It's toxic for the person who thinks they can control someone else. That's a huge problem. And it's a really huge problem for anyone to tell anyone what they should be doing. I don't care what it is. You know, I don't care if it's friends. Unless it's something to help the friend. If it's advice to tell them what they, you shouldn't wear red lipstick, you shouldn't put your hair like that. Like, that's nobody's business. You know, like, no one has a right to tell you what you should or should not do unless it's harming someone else. Remember, that was always my thing. Do whatever you want to for yourself as long as it's not affecting or hurting someone else. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I go on more tangents.
I know. We're like fucking halfway through the whole episode already.
The episode is only about that.
Okay. Well, yes. Thank you for that little reminder. And yeah, I do think that people don't hear, especially for women and girls, like, you don't hear that enough.
Yeah.
And like, that's why I always joke, like, I let things slide because I was learning. I was fucking a teenager. Like, I was learning. You know what I mean? Like, but I was aware it wasn't right, but I'm like, let's see how it plays out, you know? Yeah. And obviously now, being out of all those things, whatever they were, like, I always joke, like, I'm terrified for my next boyfriend. Like, he's going to be, think of all the things he, like your face.
That he's not allowed to
like,
do.
Like, not even not allowed, just, like, my standards are so much higher. Like, it's not going to be easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is a standard thing, and I do want to say for anyone out there, because this isn't just you going through something in teens.
Yeah,
I know grown-ass women. I know grown-ass humans. I don't care what, whatever, that are my age. Even older than me, I used to work at a gym and I would be at the front desk, and I would have even clients come in that were older than me and would complain about their problems, and they were the same problems that I have at my age that I hear you have at 20s, that I had at teens. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're in your 60s telling me these problems, so this doesn't change, you know? And they're like, it doesn't change if you don't change it. So if you keep your standards the same, so what? This isn't just for the teens learning and figuring it out. This is for, you know, however old you are, if you have somebody in control, like, it's time to check them. If somebody's taking control, or you have someone in your life that you're scared to, you're sneaking a backpack with your clothes in it. You should only be sneaking a backpack with your clothes if it's from your parents when you're in
like
high
a
school
kid.
And
yeah.
You're a child
yeah.
And you're under 18. If you're even 21, if you live in your parents' house, respect them. You know what I mean? Or any, I get that. But if you're under anybody's, you know, house, respect them and you follow the rules. That's part of you living there, whatever it is. But if you really, it's in a partner or in a friendship or whatever, that's where there's an issue if you have to hide or be wear something different or not be yourself in front of them. That's already a red flag. Like,
yeah.
You already should figure out your exits. Because it'll go on super, super long and it'll get worse.
And harder
to get out of it, and deeper with the whole connection of it. It's tricky, but yeah. Try to be in spaces where you could be yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah. Period. Okay. Thank you for that. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the concept of mortality motivation. So you mentioned it earlier. For people who don't know what that means, mortality motivation, like, we as humans, we're mortal. We don't live forever, unfortunately. To me, at least, unfortunately. We don't live forever. So that's motivation in itself. Like, you only live once. Like, what do you have to lose? You don't know when, you know, your next day is. Like, you, every day you wake up is a blessing type of mentality. And you pretty much instilled that in me, like, 10 years ago when your dad passed away, my grandpa passed away. I was 13, and so I remember for literally, it's been a decade now of me living in the mindset of, like, that trauma of, like, losing grandpa.
Yes.
And then seeing how it affected you and the family, and just in general, like, it wasn't good, but it was something that taught us at a young age, like, the concept of mortality motivation and, like, having the angels watching over us, but also at the end of the day, like, you only live once type of thing.
Yeah.
And so you're the one who put that into words with that mortality motivation, like, sentence for me.
Yes.
Or phrase.
So basically, where I learned what mortality motivation was, because I wasn't sure what it was either. Actually, I knew what I felt, but I didn't know what the name was. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I have a lot of mentors and I follow a lot of people. And one of my mentors who literally was in a car accident and almost died. And then he said his experience of what he saw when he died, like he saw his life flash before him and all he was answered, did I matter? What did I do? What did I do in my life? And then he survived. So when he survived, he thought like, whoa, I could have been taken. Like, mm-hmm. And I didn't do anything to impact and leave with the world. And so he started living from this space of, I could have been dead, you know, but I have the second chance. How am I going to impact the world? And that's how he became who he is, which is a multimillionaire, brilliant, genius mentor guy that I follow now. He made it very clear what it was that I was experiencing, and people don't talk about it. It's the only time till this day, and I learned about it 10 years ago. It's the only till this day I don't hear anyone still talking about it. So I hope to talk about it more, and I plan to, but this is my first place I'm talking about it. I know what I felt when my dad passed away. He passed away, and he was 61 years old. And all I could think of as an adult, that I will be 60 in 20 years or so, 25 years, whatever it is, I knew that, holy cow, if I only live till 60, like, how, like, this can't be it. There's so much I did not do. And the years go by so fast. And so I freaked out and had, like, I just started freaking out and started writing lists down of everything that I want to do that I didn't get to do. And it gets deeper, and this has been a 10-year process, so I'm still, like, sitting in it. And there's times I forget, and there's times I have to muster up the courage, and I go, whenever I have to muster up courage to try something or do something again, I go back into that space. In the year 2020, when we just went through this lockdown, it was another eye-opener of how we're not in control. And like how everything can be taken and how we were stuck in the house and any business you're in, whatever changes, we had no control of the changes. And so then that revved it back up in me again about the mortality motivation and like, oh my gosh, we have no control. What if this is it? And then that's what caused me to be very productive in that time while everybody was kind of at a pause, and not everybody, but a lot of people were in a panic and just more like, this was a drop for everyone and people were declining. I was like, how am I going to rise from this? And so it is something that when I see my kids or you guys have opportunities or chances or experiences, especially at a young age, because you're, you know, half the age, so much younger than I am. It's why I would encourage you to just try it. Just try it. One thing I know that I did do is whatever I did have you guys sign up for, I was like, finish what you start and then decide if it's something you want to still do. So I remember putting you guys in classes and just try the class for 8 weeks. And then if you didn't like it, all right, just finish out the 8 weeks and we'll stop doing it. But you don't know until you do it a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And then after 8 weeks, if you really don't like it, because then there's some situations where it's like, actually, after week four, I do kind of like it. But we're uncomfortable trying things for the first time. And so it's easy to be like, no, I'm not going back. And so I kind of lived in that space of like, all of you, like, just take the experiences, take the opportunity, say yes first to everything. And then you can say no when you rule it out with proper reason, not just because you're uncomfortable for a second. And so the mortality motivation is very serious, that we only live once, so you might as well, you know, try whatever it is. And I have the tattoo, you only live once here. That's how serious it is. And it's right in front of me as a reminder, because sometimes it's easy to be discouraged by things. And I always tell myself, and I talk to my dad, up in heaven and up in the sky. And I'm like, all right, what you want me to do? You know, we have our deals. And so you just have to find something bigger than you to make you believe. Everybody has their different reasons, and that's why you guys believe in angels. And like, when things happen and they feel like a miracle, I'm like, oh my gosh, my dad's making deals up there, you know? And he always liked to play dice and stuff. I'm like, oh, he won that shoot up there, you know, when something good happens. Yeah. And so I feel that I passed that on to you guys, and I feel that him along with our other angels that we have up there, I feel that we're protected, and you know, and that's some faith, that's about our faith and what we live by. It's not for everyone, and it's okay, but I'm very heavy in the like, what's the worst that can happen? Oh, I'm gonna open another business, I'm gonna try to do this, I'm gonna try to do that. The worst that can happen is the business don't work, and then you try the next one. Mm-hmm. I talked about owning the talent agencies. It's not my first business. I own several businesses, and businesses that worked, and then they didn't work. And you just keep going. And
on to the next.
On to the next. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Everything you said, obviously. And that's something, like, that's a whole episode in itself, mortality, motivation.
Yeah.
But I wanted to just put it out there, just to kind of plant that seed for everyone listening. Like, that is a real thing. That we live by, especially. Like, I, my tattoo is angel on my shoulder. That's for my grandpa and all my other angels I have up above. That's my faith, my belief. That's what's helping me wake up every day and think, like, this is why I have the potential. Like, something in me, you know, is greater than me, you know? So I think that's cool. Yours is your, you know, your different tattoos as well as your little reminder for that mortality, motivation mindset. I think in terms of the onto the next section of it, like, I have it written down in my notes that, like, my mom taught me the, like, onto the next lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But she also would catch me, like, Alyssa, like, you're not doing onto the next and, like, a healthy way right now. Like, let's regroup. Like, you can take a minute before you're on to the next, like I said in previous episodes. And, like, I feel like you've always instilled, like, on to the next is more of, like, a, there's going to be more opportunity. You're going to be okay. It's more of, like, a faith thing, too, in a way. Like, on to the next. Like, you have hope in the next thing.
Yes. And I feel that on to the next has to do with also letting things go and carrying on. And I didn't realize, and I probably didn't say it in that way every time. I wasn't always saying that wasn't my motto. I'm glad you summed it up. What I was the actions we were doing, you summed it up. On to the next is perfect. Like, great, I have no control in this space. On to the next. What do I do next? And that's how we live. That's the way to live. We're human. Of course, there's things we dwell on, and it's not so easy to answer the next.
Yeah.
But knowing that you're going to get to that next, that's the whole goal, is you're going to get to what's the next thing. If this did not work out and it wasn't supposed to be for me, what's coming next, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're afraid to see what that is and open that next door, then you get stuck. And then when you get stuck, you sit in resentment. There's all types of things, and it just holds you back. So I do appreciate you mentioning that, because I didn't realize it is something that I always did, and it's just a natural thing that I've always lived. And a lot of the things that I lived and did all these years, now looking back on how I raised you three and how you all turned out, I realized the little things, and it was literally from, I feel a lot of my wisdom came from reading books when you guys were just being born. I was reading stuff about, like, how to raise your child, and about saying yes to as many things as you can, because the world's going to tell them no, and you want them to have the confidence to keep trying. And I think that's what I did. This whole on to the next is I tried to build you to keep on trying and keep on trying and keep what's next. And you guys did millions of things. You experienced millions of things. You experienced in your years probably equal to what I experienced as far as, like, trying things and experiences of travel and experiences of concerts and experiences of fun things, because those are things that I didn't have the privilege to do as a child. So I made sure you guys got everything I couldn't do. So I think my goal with you guys, and what I think everyone should do, is what we talked about, something happened earlier where you just do better.
Yeah.
Like, what you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you know.
Yeah, yeah, you said it, I think, last night or something.
Yeah, like, we had something.
When you know better, you do better.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it was. When you know better, you do better. And so when I knew what did I feel was missing, what did I feel I needed, what did I, and okay, let me give that to them, because let's see what comes of that. And it worked. And that is what I do also with my business and work. My talent agencies, which we'll talk next time, was I was working with talent agencies for 20 years with You Kids. And I was like, something's missing. And when I opened my agency, I took all the things I felt missing and I said, this is what the people need. And that's why we reached success so quickly, because I knew what was missing from paying attention to. So that's a whole other episode. But yes, so on to the next. On to the next question.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I wanted to just kind of like wrap things up with the juicy stuff. So obviously on this show, I talk a lot about boys and dating and being single and like my different experiences and relationships, all the things. And so I wanted to ask you as my mom, what is your like wish for me in terms of like when I have a like a more serious, like whether it's my husband or like what do you see that for me, like what advice do you have, what like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my thing with you with any of my kids, it's scary as a parent, like you don't know who they're going to bring home. Nowadays, with the dating being on apps and social media, we're not meeting people authentically, like genuinely anymore. You can be whatever you want online. And so it's scary for me to see who my three children, who you're going to bring home. And we're only going to know what they show us. And we can only look as deep as we can in all of these people. And so it's kind of horrifying safety wise. That's why till this day, you know, I'm always like, where are you? I need to be in check with like who you with, you know, with any of my kids, it's just terrible. I don't watch the news because then I would never let you guys out, you know? But it's very scary for me. But at the end of the day, the goal would be is that all of you find someone who is a team player. You know, my whole brand is a dream team and teamwork makes a dream work. So the goal would be that you balance each other out, but also have similar interests and you, that they make you happy and they add to what you bring, not subtract. That's first off. But really, they add to you. They don't make you happy. They add to your happiness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're happy in your whole and who you are. And then here comes this person and then they add to that. And they're rooting for you. They're encouraging you. They're excited for you. Like, that's the stuff that, like, I didn't know growing up. You know, like, you were just, like, whoever sticks around and whoever you get along with and as long as you're safe and all that. But the standards now for my children especially is someone who genuinely wants the best for you. That's, like, more important than the looks, than the money, than all that stuff. Because you will know the difference of someone who really is excited for what you're doing and someone who is there. It's very hard, especially as powerful women, to find a guy who is okay with you in the limelight, okay with you in the spotlight, okay with you traveling, or especially being in this industry. We're always, everything's a show and everything is like
networking
and you have to meet people and you have to be out there and you have to dress up and you have to do, you're going to constantly make new friends. I make friends all the time still. And it's going to be very hard for, especially when you have children and all that stuff. Or is everyone going to be okay that mom still has to go to a gala tonight? Stuff like that. So it has to be someone strong that can handle it. And at the end of the day, just happiness and none of this, you know, bull stuff. I don't want to say bullshit. I forgot I can swear out here.
You can swear whatever you want.
None of this bull crap. Just genuine, like, just be cool and chill and just be cool. Like, that. Even that is a hard thing to find.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you said about your relationship of wanting to control what are you wearing. You want it to be like, oh, my gosh, I have to order these dresses. Which one do I look better? And then they should be like, oh, that one looks more, whatever.
Yeah.
And just the biggest thing is someone who's encouraging you, motivating you, inspiring you. Like, that's the hardest thing to find.
Yeah. And they have to be good within themselves, too.
They have to be.
Because if they're 100%. Not confident in themselves, then there's no fucking way they're going to be able to handle.
There's that's already going to be.
Good luck.
That's in the first. You'll know that in the first date.
Of course. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
In the first date. So, yeah, that's all I can hope for. You know, it's going to be. Tough. It's gonna be hard to fight in a weird way. Yeah. We'll see.
And it's funny because that I've come to that conclusion. It's not gonna be easy. But I'm not like I don't feel like there's not someone out there.
100%. There's a million. And guess what? It might be someone out there for the moment, and then in a few years, it might you like.
Yeah.
I know the old school way. Like, this is my forever and whatever. You know, it's that's not even how you should look at it. It shouldn't be looked at as like, oh, who's the person for? Yeah, you hope. You're hoping the person you're with and this is going to be, we're going to raise a family, and you hope for that and you hope that you stay. But we're human and things change and people change, and the goal is you grow together.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is you grow together. And as long as that's an open conversation that we're growing together, you're going to be okay. The minute that you're growing and they're not, or you're against each other and you're no longer in a team form, that's when it's on to the next. Once again. I know. It's tricky.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. You just safety. I just need you to be safe and happy right now.
Yeah.
That's it. Make your own money. Make your own everything and be safe and happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's fair. And yeah, I definitely, it's nice because everything you said, I already know.
Yeah.
So it's good to know that I learned that on my own already.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable in my space of just dilly-dallying until the right one comes along. You know what I mean?
And just being who you are. And that's the biggest thing. And I know you said it's stuff you know already, but you have to know it's stuff that I've been embedding in your head.
Yeah, since and that's you were a child. That's why I know it already.
Since little, like, be who you are and show up and show off. And I say that to my talent every day. And I think we sell ourselves short. And we try to, like, make ourselves small for people to be comfortable. And my biggest thing is I believe that you for sure won't be uncomfortable. You'll be who you are comfortably, and then you will see who can handle that. And so I'm confident in that, that it's going to be okay, and you're going to figure it out.
It'll be easy to weed out.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
And there's a purpose and a reason why you're going to meet everyone, and you're going to learn stuff from everyone you meet, and that's okay, too. It don't have to be Prince Charming today or tomorrow. There's no timeline. It's whenever it happens, and when it feels right, you'll know, and we're going to be okay.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I want one last, like, thing, and then we can wrap up.
Okay.
So what advice do you have just in general for, like, essentially anyone, but obviously, like, people in their 20s who are going through these transitional periods in life and everything and kind of growing up, like, what advice do you have, whether it's, like, for me and just in general, like, any person who is just trying to, like, figure themselves out?
I say when you're trying to figure yourself out, man, like, self-awareness, that's a whole other they don't even teach it. There should be a class, you know, self-awareness, tap into what really makes you happy. What do you really like? Be honest about it. A lot of times we're doing, you know, what our parents wanted us to do. I get that. Be respectful, especially if you're living at home. You do what you got to do. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you have to just know what you want. And the only way you know what you want is by trying things. So you just have to try things and do what you want and take jobs. And if this is a right fit, stick around. If it's not, on to the next. And that goes with relationships. That goes with work. It's not, you're so young. You have so many years of experience. It's okay to, like, today walk dogs and tomorrow you want to work at Starbucks and the next week you want to be in an office and the week after that you want to perform, you know. Be all of those things, and then you're going to find what sticks, and then start being self-aware of, oh, this is what I'm good at. This is where I thrive. This is where I feel good. And, if you could just be true to yourself and not, and you know what, maybe don't tell all of your ideas to the dream killers, you know, to the people around you that are haters. Sadly, some of the closest people to us are the ones that'll stop you from doing the things you want to do.
Totally.
And you can't, I don't know, cover your ears, put your headphones on, stick your head into your phone and just ignore it. Like, do whatever you can to not tell your ideas. Do it first and then tell them. Man, yeah. I tried this. Oh, I got hired at Starbucks. And people are going to be like, why'd you go to Starbucks for? You have a degree. Or, you know, there's always that. And don't tell them until after you did it and experience it. And then you say, yeah, I don't know. I wanted to try it. But now that I did it, I don't really like it. And then, but don't tell someone that's going to make you stop.
Like, know your audience.
Know your audience.
Even with this podcast, I've been working on this for like 9 months before I posted it. And I can say maybe 10 people knew about it before I like announced it, and nothing personal. It's just as like I believe in like do work quietly and then show that shit loudly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like do what you got to do. When I got comfortable, when I knew it was for sure happening, and I knew my people, I started telling more friends, more people that needed to know, just so they know like that we're all on this together. But like I wasn't, when it was an idea, I wasn't talking about it, like blabbing my mouth to anyone.
Well, with that being said, you said 10 people. You're lucky that you had a group of 10 people you could tell that were. Encouraging.
And it was more than, I would say maybe 15, 20. And it was beautiful because I knew that they were all going to be best.
You
the
knew
best
your
people.
Audience, that the people they tell are going to hype you up to do it. That was
and
a self-awareness
me and text
thing.
Me and make sure I'm good. The first day, they text me before I even announced it. Like, oh my God, happy podcasting. Like, that shit means the world. And it's beautiful to have that already.
And I bet you that. Knew 10 people you can't tell because they would tell you that you shouldn't do it.
Or and we also are very big on like what you put out there, like this little superstition. Like I'm not going to tell a hater that's my bestie or is fake to my face, but like behind the scenes they're like wishing me the worst because they're jealous or whatever it is. Like I'm not going to tell them the good things because I don't want them to be fucking
doing
making
voodoo.
Deal. Like, I don't know.
They're going to do voodoo to stop it.
And thankfully I can't name a lot of those people. I don't talk to those people if that's a thing. They're not in my life where I'm like talking to them regularly where I feel like, ooh, you know? So it's that is a blessing to know that as well and be aware of that. But it is a thing, like you said, like.
But in this breath of what you said, I want to make sure people know that you do have to put it out there, though.
Yeah.
You have to put it out into the universe somehow.
Yes.
In your prayers, out loud to a colleague, out loud to a teacher who's like helping you learn.
How, a safe space.
You have to say it because if you say it, it becomes part of you. Like you believe it. Like if you don't say it and put it out there, then we all have a million ideas. There's a million ideas I still have not said out loud.
Mm-hmm.
The ones I say out loud, forget it. The minute I put it out there, like it's like wildflowers. Like I know which rooms to say it in, and it just starts this thing where that even if I forget about it a month later, they'll come back and say, hey, about that thing you said, let's do this, and they'll help you. And so when you put it out there, you'll find the right people that want to help you. But your example for you having that group, you learned and went through the process of finding your peers and finding that self-awareness of who you know. We all know, just like when you show your grandma, like, this is a nice picture of me, and they say, you're beautiful, you're the pretty, you know, best face in the world. You want to go to people that are going to do that for your new ideas.
The initial, like, take
your
off.
Initial take so that they can get you the courage
you,
and uplift you to want to do it. But then when it's go time, anyone who can help you in the process, you start letting them know.
And that's the thing, like, I'm open to that, too. Like, I had, when I announced my first episode, I had people closest to me being like, oh, my God, that was so good, but, like, the sound was a little quiet. Thank you. I need that. I'm also in La La Land. I fucking am editing for hours a day. I don't hear those things. I'm so in it. You know what I mean? It's nice to have people who I know want the best for me, and they're still being like, hey, edit this little part in the beginning, because I can hear you said your fucking, like, ASMR, like, like, you know, like, those things are good things to have. And it's like, I'm not only telling people, like, the people who I know are going to hype me up. I'm also putting it out there for the whole world. Anyone can access this. No matter who they are, where they are. I have listeners in Italy and Spain, lots of love. Like, anyone can answer and listen to this shit. But it's, like, also being receptive to when I'm getting the positive, critical what is it? Criticism?
Critical criticism. When they're critiquing.
Critiquing. And I grew up in an industry where I was critiqued every day of my life, in dance, in acting. Are you kidding? You have to be strong for that shit. You can't break with one thing being told, like, oh, fix this, you know?
Yeah.
So it was nice that I got that at a young age also, being able to take that. And I actually encourage the healthy and helpful
constructive criticism.
That's the word.
Definitely. You have to get comfortable with that, though, you know, too, because not a lot of people can handle constructive criticism. The minute that there's some people, if you tell them something like, you should fix this, oh, I know, or oh, I did that, and they make an excuse, like, because they just can't be like, oh my gosh, I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. And thankfully that you learned, because I can take it too. Like, please, I know we're not, I try to be as human as possible. We're not perfect. None of this is perfect. And I'm very comfortable with that. But it took me years to get that. There's times, you know, I would see you guys growing up, and I'm like, man, I would love, you know, I want you to get it now. I want you to get it now. The perfect example is about not wearing a coat, you know, like, you know how, like, when you're freezing but you want to look good in your outfit, so you'll like wear the small sweater and you're freezing and you don't want to put a coat because you just want to look good, and I'm like, can you please put a coat? No one cares about the sweater. And you know, like, we see that, and we'll even see till this day girls at the football games, and they just want to, like, whatever, and they won't have a jacket on, and you can see their torso, and I'm like, it's freezing, cover your, you know, you're gonna be okay. And I remember being that girl too, that, like, oh my gosh, if I put on my coat, no one's gonna see my outfit. And so, and you make those little things, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so hard to, I don't even know why I went into that space, but it's being able to take advice and people's constructive criticism. But you have to be careful with who it is, because if it is your hater, if it is somebody who is jealous of you, and here's a secret on how you know if someone's jealous of you: if they don't like your post. And it's not jealous, but they're not liking your post, they're not showing you love or support, but you see them do it for other people. Like, I get some people are on social media and they don't like posts.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I know personal family members, friends, that they have Facebook and they have social media, but they don't like anything. They just watch once in a while, or they check in, or maybe they're just on there to watch the reels on Instagram, mm-hmm. or to watch their favorite celebrities, or to get updates from their TV shows. That is 100% fine. But if you see those people commenting and liking on other people's things or sharing other people's things, and then they don't like or share yours,
it's questionable. It's
for sure something underneath. There's something that there's an issue, that they're envious. There's something that they're not. I don't care if they're jealous, envy. We don't have to label it. They're not supporting you. That's all that matters. I don't care why or what. If they're not showing you support, that's not the person you take criticism from.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I
mean?
That makes sense. Yeah.
If you have someone that's helping you and then they're giving you advice like, we're doing this together, and they want it to be better, great. But if it's just someone on the outskirts saying, looking in and critiking, like, oh, and you do this, or you talk
like they
like
only
this,
reach out to critique.
Just to critique.
That's a different experience.
That's a whole other experience. Or when they need to ask you for something, then they reach out to you because now they see, oh, well, you have this. How come you're not helping me? Mm-hmm. Wait, but I didn't talk to you for the last 6 months. I didn't even know you heard an episode. Like, those types of things. That's a whole other topic once again. You know, all of the things we're talking about can be complete full episodes.
Yeah.
But because of the experience over the years, and there's so much of all of this, being connected and being putting yourself out there, putting our thoughts out there, it's a huge deal. Like, people probably for sure disagree with a lot of things we say.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
And it's okay.
Yeah, and it's not for everyone.
And it's not for, and if you disagree,
I want to know
feel
why.
Free.
Yeah.
Tell us. No, but then you'll just be in a debate.
Yeah, it's not really
so it's
a
not
thing.
Even necessary.
Yeah.
Take what you want of it, and whatever you agree with, great. And if you don't, you can carry on to the next, and no, and it's okay. It's not going to affect you or me. Anything I'm saying is what works for us.
Yes.
Anything that you're saying as what I feel works for us it's how what we believe and what we live in. It doesn't have to be for everyone, and it's no offense if it isn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 100%. I know that's we went into a whole episode, other.
I know. I had something else I wanted to bring up, but it goes well with the industry.
Yeah.
Not taking things personal. Yeah. So we'll talk about that next episode: how to handle rejection, how to not take things personal, etc. Thank you, Mom, for being here.
Yeah,
my little guinea pig of a guest. Like I was of your child raising kids. I was a guinea pig.
You were the first child. Yeah.
So thank you for being here. Lots of love.
Lots of love always.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you had fun. I hope you were able to laugh along with us. I hope you were able to understand us because we are just fucking blabbers. So lots of love to us for that and for you for listening. You know, you'll find us on social media. Her Instagram is at Chicago Vilma. And then she has her different talent agency Instagrams at Dream Team Talent Chicago, at Dream Team Talent LA, at Dream Team Talent Atlanta. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. And I will see you when we are on to the next episode next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.